So the Federal Reserve discussing the stance now for policy as they announced that they did not hike rates. And they also laid the stage for beginning to reduce their balance sheet. Now, the Fed said that the hurricanes were unlikely to alter the economy's course over the medium term, which basically the economy's course as set out by the Federal Reserve. And again, you know, so every quarter, by the way, if you don't know this, and I track this every quarter, and I've got an updated chart that I'll be putting out with Friday's reading list. Since 2011, the Federal Reserve has been making projections on what they expected economic growth to be for the country. They've never got it right once. They've always overstated it, and then they have to ratchet it down until they get into the ballpark. Currently, they're projecting that growth for 2017 will rise from last year's 1.6% growth for the entire year to about 2.5% growth this year. Currently, we're running about 2.1% and projections for the third quarter at 2.2%. And so if we get any type of economic slack between now and December, we'll be below 2% once again. That will be short of their goal, which I certainly expect to happen. Outside of that, for the projections going forward, they all remain below 2% or less. In fact, going out to 2020, the projection for economic growth is around 1.8%. Now, it certainly doesn't sound like a very optimistic growth rate for an economy that's growing, and we need to start reducing the balance sheet, taking away the punch bowl, so to speak, from stocks, and raising interest rates. Let me just remind you why we raise interest rates. I want you to think for just a moment about all the things you do in your life that revolve around financing something. Your house, your car, credit cards, any other type of big appliance that you buy, you may finance that. All of that is based upon some interest rate. And that interest rate is generally tied to LIBOR, which is the London Interbank Offering Rate. It's a actual exchange rate that's traded. It tracks very closely with the Federal Reserve rate, or it tracks to the 10-year Treasury for the most part, like most of your mortgages. So the problem becomes, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about your life and the money you've got going out, debt payments, et cetera, and how much free cash you have left over at the end of the month. And then I want you to think about what happens when interest rates go up and the payments on your credit card go up. The next time you finance a car or a house, the payments are substantially higher than they are today. And you roll that out across a country that's got 80% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck with less than $500 in the bank for an emergency. The reason the Federal Reserve raises interest rates is to slow economic growth and quell inflation. So they're talking about an environment where inflation is predicted to be around 2%. On an annual basis, and we're currently running substantially weaker than that right now, and economic growth of 1.8 to 2%, and you want to raise interest rates and slow economic growth. Makes absolutely no sense. So why would the Federal Reserve then be bent on raising interest rates and reducing their balance sheet? Well, while they don't tell you this, the answer is actually quite simple. We're 9 years into an expansion. Economic expansions don't last forever. We are going to have a recession sooner at this point rather than later. And the Federal Reserve needs some ability to both expand their balance sheet and lower interest rates, because those are the only two policy tools that they have at this point that they are aware of that actually work to stimulate, to some degree, some economic growth. Because remember, when you lower interest rates, you allow people to finance things cheaper, so they borrow from the future. Right. So they finance things today that they were going to buy a year from now or 2 years from now. But now the deal is so good, they're going to buy it today. So you pull forward this consumption, which gives you some short term boost to the economy. The problem is you got to keep doing that, because when you get to the void that you created in the future, because everybody pulled forward their consumption, you then have to do something to stimulate that period. And that's why we've been going on and on and on with these balance sheet expansions and near zero interest rates. But if they don't reverse this to some degree, they're not going to have any capability to replay that pony, so to speak, in the next recession. So they've got to do something. Now, they can't come out and tell you that, because if they came out and said, look, we're really worried about the next recession. The economy's not really growing all that fast. Wages are kind of stuck, and we're kind of worried. So we're going to raise interest rates so we have some room for the next time around. The problem is that would immediately spark a huge sell-off in the markets, and you'd be in a recession before you know it. So what they tell you in these minutes and what they actually mean are two different things. That's why you have to read between the lines. But beginning this year, beginning October, actually next month, they're going to start reducing the balance sheet, but they're not going to do anything dramatic. Okay. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, this means interest rates are about to go up through the roof because the Fed's going to sell all their bonds. No, they're not selling anything. First of all, you have to understand what happens with the flow of money. The Federal Reserve owns a huge amount of bonds that are issued by the U.S. government through the Treasury Department. The Treasury Department issue bonds out to what they call 20 primary dealers. These are your major banks. This is Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, etc. The Treasury needs to issue bonds in order to have funding in order to pay for the deficit in spending between the revenues that the government collects and what they are obligated to spend. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, defense spending, etc. That deficit, which is about $600 million-ish, has to be financed through debt. So the Treasury issues bonds as they need revenue. The primary dealers buy the bonds. Now, the Fed has set up a transaction that says, well, Goldman, I'm going to buy $1 billion worth of the U.S. Treasuries sitting on your balance sheet, and I'm going to credit your reserve account with the Federal Reserve with $1 billion, and you're going to give me your bond. So now the bond transfers ownership from the bank to the Federal Reserve. So now the Federal Reserve owns the bond. The Federal Reserve credits the reserve account for the bank. The bank then takes that money and then injects it into the financial markets because that's the biggest return on the investment. So that's good for them. So that's why asset prices rise, all that liquidity being pushed into the markets. That was also the goal of the Fed, create a wealth effect so consumers will go out and spend more money. But now here's the interesting part about the flow. The Federal Reserve receives interest payments from the Treasury. For the U.S. government on our budget, those interest payments are an expense. So the U.S. Treasury issues out $1 billion of interest payments that go to the Federal Reserve for all the bonds that they own, the $4.5 trillion balance sheet. The Federal Reserve counts that as revenue. That's revenue into the Fed. Fed's making money. Fed then pays a 6% or a 3% dividend to all their bank member banks that own it. So the banks participate in the interest stream that's coming in. When the bonds mature, the Treasury then sends the payment for the value of the bond when the bond matures to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve then goes out and buys more bonds if need be. Or at the end of the year, they then return profits, quote unquote, back to the Treasury. Now, here's the interesting part. When the Federal Reserve returns their profits, by the way, when we talk about corporate profits, the profits of the Federal Reserve are included in those national corporate profits. And it's a substantial issue. But when the Federal Reserve returns profits on their balance sheet back to the Treasury, remember, the Treasury issued those payments out as interest expense. When the Federal Reserve returns that money as profits back to the Treasury then counts it as revenue. So it's a wash. So what the Federal Reserve is now going to do is no longer when a bond matures and they receive money from the Treasury or interest payments come in from the Treasury, the Federal Reserve is going to begin reducing the amount that they reinvest into other bonds to keep their balance sheet stable at $4.5 trillion. And they're going to begin to do less and less and less of that. Beginning October, it'll start tailoring off. And by the time we get to October of next year, we'll be reinvesting $50 billion less every month. Here's the important point about that. Previously, every time we have a market correction to some degree, like the heading into the presidential election, the markets are selling off. People are worried about Donald Trump getting elected. Markets are predicted to open down 1,000 points. In fact, I'm standing down at Fox 26 as states fall for Donald Trump. I'm watching futures fall 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 points. Next morning, the market opens up positive and has moved higher ever since. There was also about a $30 billion inflow from the Federal Reserve into the financial markets the night of the election. Every time the market has dipped or there's a concern about market weakness, economics, North Korea, whatever it is, the Federal Reserve has been very timely at inputting money back into the markets, reinvesting to keep their balance sheet stable. Coincidence? Maybe. Opportunistic? Probably. Well, what are you going to do? What's the market's going to do when they begin to correct and all of a sudden there's $50 billion less to support that market? That's the risk to investors. And that's what you need to be paying attention to more than anything else.
Get daily investment news you can use, delivered at the speed of the internet. Sign up for Lance's newsletter now at lanceroberts.com.